Hi, this is Annie. It is Sunday, August the 8th. This is day three, part three of Byron Bay Writers Festival. Just to backtrack a little bit, I left the audio boo last night saying that I'd been SMS'd and, you know, that I was going to go out. I am glad that I went out last night, but I'm sort of a bit sorry that I did because I'm a bit sore and sorry for myself right now, and I sort of had to drag myself through a lot of today. Got changed into dancing gear and went up into the pub that I was enticed into. There was a covers band. It was populated by Embryos, who stomped out some pretty decent renditions, I've got to say, of songs that were made popular before they were even a twinkle in anyone's eye. You know, it's at these moments that you suddenly feel really old. Anyway, to get in the spirit of things, I got out on the dance floor, thrashed around with all the headbangers, screamed and shouted all the golden oldies of rock and roll, danced more than I've ever danced in a year. It felt really good to be loose and, you know, get out there. And I am glad I went out. And I'm glad I sat out and just watched some of the crowd, because, again, there were some really interesting characters, you know, all drinking their beer, swill, and you know, just trying not to think about all the sticky gloop and ugh, that was sticking to my shoes, and trying to suck my shoes from my feet as I walked around. The others went off to the beach, and they sat out there in the freezing cold. So I dragged my sorry ass to bed and then got up a couple of hours later and filled myself full of coffee and went to the festival. I'd like to note here that I had a really sore neck from far too much headbanging, and I had to sit like a hunchback most of the day. Anyway, on to the festival. The first session was really brilliant. It had Matthew Riley and Jack Heath. Jack Heath is a teenage writer. And Matthew Riley, well, he doesn't need any introduction. They spoke about the difficulty of putting what they'd written, which is mostly action, onto film, and how directors would need about $200 million just to film the special effects that they describe. I've got to say, I'd expected Matthew Riley would be a lot different than what he was. He came across as such a personable, really gentle, humble, everyday bloke. He was just so gracious and grateful to his fans, and he kept thanking people for buying his books. I mean, here's a man who sold 4 million books in Australia alone. He was such a delight to listen to. So I'm afraid I stalked him for the rest of the day, popping into sessions that he spoke to that I really hadn't meant to go to. I was really taken by his gentleness, I guess. I went on to listen to the satire writing panel. That was another fresh of breath air. I mean, for general entertainment purposes, again, but I don't think I actually learnt anything about how to actually write it. The panellists basically said they didn't know how they wrote it. It just sort of came out. The thing that I did pull out from their talk was that they did it with careful observation, and they had the ability to twist something about, turn it over and look at it from different angles. But I guess if you're a good writer too, that's what you're going to do. You're going to be, you know, have your careful observations of people, of the human situation, and you just twist it about until you find something that's new or different or fresh, and you write about it. Matthew Riley and Kim Falconer spoke again about how the markets influence writing and the effects that feedback and book signings have on them, and again the knock-on effect about what they're going to be writing afterwards. They came across as very personable and approachable people, and it was a good session. The last session of the day looked about how writers find their muse. I've got to say, I've always been pretty envious of anyone who says that they have one. I'm influenced or entrapped by a sound, a smell, a flickering movement, and most often it's the voices in my head. We were treated to some pretty fantastic hip-hop poetry by a guy called Omar Musa. He did a political and cultural commentary that just had such a strong message. It was incredible. I'm certainly going to go and look at some of his work online and his influences, which I know is pretty bad of me, but Browning was one of them. I mean, who'd have thought? And that just goes to show you just can't judge by what someone looks like or by the things that they write about what their influence was. Very sad the festival is over. I just wished I could have stayed longer, but better go and do something with all this inspiration now, so I'll catch you later.